if not now, then when? It's like you're young now, you now have the opportunity to leave and study abroad and make new connections, learn a new language, immerse yourself in a foreign culture. And even if at the end you decide to go back to the US or to your home country, you're going back home with so many new memories, new competences, and a lot of new friends, and yeah, having discovered a new part of the world.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jacob Tong, and welcome to the podcast College Degrees in Europe. I am checking in today from Berlin, Germany, and I'm so happy to interview a student today who's currently studying in Paris, and he's from Germany. So I've been wanting to do an episode on France for a long time because tuition fee for international students is very low. It's very similar to Germany, and students get the chance to learn French really well while they're studying there. So for today's episode, I contacted Campus France, a French organization that helps international students to apply for universities in France. So right now I am at their Berlin office, and I am so happy to have this conversation with my friend Guacam here. Hello, Guacam, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. So let's talk about you. It's about you today. So it's very interesting how you grew up in Germany, but you go to university in France. Can you tell us about your journey, going to high school in Germany, and how did you decide to go to France to study?
Yeah, so I grew up in Nuremberg in Bavaria, and I actually went to I did a Franco-German program called Abibac, which is a very specific thing in Germany and France where we can do the French and the German high school degree at once. So I kind of started at a young age, being interested in the French language and the French culture. We also had a lot of exchange programs between my high school and then high school in France. So I think already at the age of 12, I got to spend 2 weeks at a French host family in Le Limousin, and spent 2 weeks there learning French and immersing myself in the language. And then preparing my high school degree, I think I had around 15 hours of French class a week. So I
How
got
many hours?
15,
15 hours a week. Oh, that's a lot.
French language class, history and social science in French. And at the end, I was just kind of convinced by the idea to now I have to continue my studies in France. And it was also, I really liked the language, the culture, the history, and really wanted to further improve my French and also contribute to Franco-German relations.
Okay.
So
What do you study, by the way?
my bachelor's was in general social sciences, so it was kind of a mix of political science, economics.
And the programs in French.
The program was trilingual in French, German, and English, which was also kind of a
Wow.
convincing point for me, because I didn't really find specific programs like these in Germany.
Yeah.
So I did find this program, which was at Sciences Po, which is social science, political kind of school.
Assemble, yeah, I know. Yeah.
In France.
Is it private school or public school? It's kind of tricky, right?
It's a bit tricky. It's a mix of it's half private, half public. It is, yeah, it's a mix between the two. But it's like one of the few universities in France that offer a kind
Yeah.
of pluridisciplinary study program.
I heard, yeah. Especially in social science, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
and it's quite nice, especially if you don't really know what exactly you want to study, and if you want to start in a more kind of general approach, and then
Yeah.
Specify along the way on what you want to focus on,
Yeah.
which I did. So I did start with general social science, and then focus on economics and sociology further along the way.
Interesting. Let's get back to your high school days. Are there a lot of students from Germany doing this program that you were in?
It depends on where you are in Germany. I'd say there's the closer you get to the border with France, so in Baden-Württemberg, Saarland, and maybe Rheinland-Pfalz, there's lots of students doing the Abibac program. But the further away you get from the border, the less Francophone they are. So in my year, I think we're roughly seven students doing that bilingual program. But most of them are actually quite a few of them end up in France. whether it be for the full-time studies or just an exchange year or even work experience.
Okay, interesting. Could you tell us a little bit about Campus Friends? So I didn't tell the listeners. So Guikam is right now working as an intern at Campus Friends, which is a government organization that helps international students to study in France.
Exactly.
Could you give us a little bit more introduction on this organization?
Yeah. So as you said, we're a French government agency, and we're in general, we're dedicated to promote higher education in France. Here in Berlin, we work with the embassy and the French Cultural Institute, where we are right now, the Maison de France. And we do several things, but especially what we do the most is we provide guidance and support throughout application processes and answering general questions about studying in France, about different university programs, about also integration in France, finding an apartment, also just general support. So we have our office hours here at the Maison de France, where students can contact us and get in touch with us if they have any questions. We also go to student fairs, like in Cologne or Munich. So we're kind of all over Germany. And we also go visit high schools and do presentations there and present.
In Germany?
In Germany, yeah. It's kind of mostly, well, right here, our team, we mostly intervene in high schools in Berlin and Brandenburg, but we also have our alumni and kind of like Campus Friends ambassador that work around Germany, and they also intervene in high schools in there.
So what kind of presentation do they do?
It's a presentation on general ways of going to France after you graduate. So we most of the time focus on higher education. So studying in France, whether it might be a full-time program or also just going to exchange, but also other ways as in volunteering with together with the OFAGE, which is Office Franco-Allemand pour la Jeunesse, and also the European Solidarity Corps, which are volunteering programs between France and Germany, which are funded. So students get supported to go abroad, like for Germans to go to France, for French students to go to Germany and participate in an organization, and it's like fully funded.
So it's like a gap year?
It's a gap year, yeah, because German students we love gap years.
Did you take a gap year?
Yes, I did take a gap
year. Tell me about it. What did you do?
So I kind of did a classical thing, which is going to New Zealand for a working holiday.
How do you find it?
I loved it. It was.
So how did you find the program?
The program. It's not really a program because you kind of organize everything yourself. It's a working holiday visa you can get as a German citizen. So you can get that for, I think it's New Zealand, Australia, Argentina, and Japan. So you get a visa for a year. You have to be, I think, under a certain age, I think 30 or 29. And within that 1 year, you're free to work as much and travel as much within that country.
What did you do?
So I was actually working in hospo. I was working as a barman for 4 months in Auckland, and then got to travel.
For a hostel or
Like in a bar, like in a hospitality. Bar. Yeah.
And at the age of 18?
18, yeah. So I graduated in
You worked in a bar for a year in New Zealand?
Yeah. I graduated in 2019. Oh, sorry.
No problem.
I graduated in 2019, and then in the spring, in autumn right after, I left Germany for 8 months abroad. And then COVID happened, so I had to return in April.
No way.
Yeah. But I still got to enjoy most of it.
Wow, wow. Since you study in France, tell us about the type of university. So this is what I know.
Yeah.
In France, you have the public universities, and then you have the private universities, which called Grandes Écoles.
Grandes Écoles, yeah.
Yes, I know now. But it's kind of like an elite private university thing, and you need to go through a year preparation in order to get into those programs. And then you have those specialized schools. So that's pretty much everything I know. And of course, you have the bachelor system, it's like a license, and then you have the master's and then the doctor's, right? Or the PhDs.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us something maybe you think that people just should know, but I don't know about this, the French system. What do you think?
So you've basically summed up most of it. And it's so technically there's, I think what most people get confused that there's not really a difference with like degree wise.
Okay.
So whether if you're at a public university or at a grande école, which also might be public, like partially public.
Really?
Okay. Like, for example, Sciences Po is half public, half private.
But is it a...
It's a grande école.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
At the end, it's the same degree. It's a bachelor's or a master's degree. What is true is that they might be a bit more prestigious or selective to get into, but at the end, they provide the same degree. So you might as well study business at a grande école, but you can also just start studying economics at a public university. And the big difference as well is that public university is basically free. So the only thing for European students is you pay around 200 euros per semester. Mm-hmm. And at the grande école, it's a bit different. It might go up to 20K a year.
Okay. I think for international students, for public universities, still the tuition is not that high.
For bachelor's, it's around 2,000 something. And for
a year.
Right. Yeah, per year. And for a master's, a bit more than, I think, almost 4,000 euros, which is still cheaper than the US.
So tell us about you.
Yeah.
How did you select that grande école, the program you're currently in? You're still in bachelor's, right?
Or master's.
Okay, so for a bachelor's degree, how did you decide to go to that program, to apply for that program, to get into the program, and how much preparation did you have to do, Leo?
So basically, there's an organization called, in English would be the Franco-German University.
Mm-hmm.
It's an institution that offer double degrees within France and Germany. So most of the time you get to spend half of your undergrad in France and half your undergrad in Germany.
Yeah.
And at the end you have two bachelor degrees, so one, a French one and a German one. So I initially applied for a program that was between Berlin, the Freie Universität, and Sciences Po. But I actually didn't get into the double degree, but only got accepted.
Their loss.
Yeah. So then I only got accepted for the French part, which still made me very happy. And I initially didn't even know the difference between a public university and the grande école, because it's most of the time it's usually a thing that is only known within France or the French system.
I know.
And for foreigners, there's not really... it's also, we have different procedures to get into these schools.
Exactly.
They're international procedures. So for us, it doesn't really make a big difference.
Really? So we don't have to go through that 1 year preparation thing? Like, have right online?
Depends on the school. They all kind of have their own system of getting into. For example, Sciences Po does not have the 1 year preparatory class.
Really?
Okay. Which is still the case for other grande école like HEC or... ESCP or all the engineering schools.
And the business schools too, right?
And the business schools, yeah. But most of them always have kind of their own prerequisites and own things that you need to comply with.
Okay.
So
let me ask you something. Is it easy to get in to a public university in France for you, for a German student with Abitur?
It's easy. Well, I wouldn't say easy, but if you can show that you're interested, especially...
Let's say you have a 2.0.
Well, it depends on what you want to study and where you want to study.
True.
So it's the same thing as in Germany. But I think if you can demonstrate that you're really motivated for that specific discipline and also have the right motivation to study in France, it shouldn't be difficult. And that you fulfill the language prerequisite to study in France.
So to sum it up, for the application process, there's no such thing as, I need to really take a look at your certain test scores, or you need whatever, like your German Abitur grade has to be 1 point. I mean, for certain programs like that, but in general, it's like, if you have the high school diploma or the German Abitur, you could get into one of those public university programs.
There's not anything comparable like in Germany with the numerus clausus.
Yeah.
So for example, if you want to do medicine in France, you don't need 1,0.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you need?
So it's kind of like most of the people can easily get in, but then at the end of the first year, they have a big exam.
Yeah.
And then it's quite rough to get onto the next year. So
I see.
Exactly. So it's a bit, yeah, it's more selective within the year. So it's not that hard to get in, but then staying within the program might be very difficult.
So to compare to the German system, in Germany, it is hard to get into the medical programs. They make the cuts really, really high, or you have to have a really high score in order to get in the program. But in France, it's not the case. But for the first year, it's very rough to stay for the second year because exactly. They have a big exam.
The cut is made after the first
year. Oh, okay.
Which might be also comparable to law in Germany, because yeah. There is no anomalous clauses for the law. But then after first year, there is quite a big cut because it's
very stressful. Yeah. I understand. Okay, let's get into your student life. So your current student life and your past student life, right? So when you're at your, it's Sciences Po, right?
Yeah.
The university in Paris.
Yeah.
How do you like Paris, by the way? You must love Paris. I mean,
Paris is amazing. It is quite stressful sometimes because there's always a lot of tourists running around, but I mean, they're there for a reason. It's a beautiful city. And it's especially if you have your free time and you can just like walk along this.
Especially like history, arts, those kind of stuff. That's...
You don't even need, well, yeah. If you love history and art, that's even better. But yeah. Especially if you just love cities and amazing architecture, the vibes are always good.
True.
I was just back there 2 weeks ago and it was springtime and just.
So you like it more than Berlin?
Huh?
You like it more than Berlin?
I wouldn't say that directly, but I mean, if you're just
there, prettier than Berlin.
It is. If you're just sitting there by the river, having a little picnic with your French cheese and a baguette, I mean, it's just pretty nice.
I understand.
And also beautiful parks. There's always something to do. And it's also, even though it is a big city, it doesn't really feel like it sometimes because
everything. Oh, really? Tell me about it.
Well, everything is quite dense, so it doesn't take as long sometimes to get from point A to point B. Like, for example, Berlin is 5 times as big as Paris.
So, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I mean, Paris, everything that's like within the peripheric, that's also like most of the things happen in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not as big and everything is quite dense.
Yeah.
So that's also why it does feel more crowded.
Yeah.
But it is still nice to know that everything is kind of more reachable and not like in Berlin where sometimes you have to drive for an hour.
Do you bike in Paris?
I do, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, it's a bit, it's not the safest, but to be honest, it has significantly improved in the past years with the mayor Hidalgo, with new bike lanes everywhere. But I used to live in the 20th, which is kind of on a hill. Like Montmartre with Sacré-Cœur. Yeah. So it's a bit more exhausting to bike there, but I feel like everything that is more central and flat, it's really nice and definitely worth it. And sometimes it's better to bike than taking the crowded metro.
Okay. So let's go back to your university. So can you tell us a little bit about the demographic of students?
So it's a bit biased because my bachelor's was in on a Franco-German campus, and to be trilingual in German, French, and English. So most students were either French or German.
Yeah.
Then my master's is in European affairs. So naturally, most of the students are from Europe, especially the European Union. And I'd say we're mostly, French, German, Italians. Then also more and more from Scandinavia.
But oh, really?
Then if I look at other programs, as in that we have in our master's degree in like international security or energy or human rights, it's pretty much even more international. A lot of students from Asia, but also from North America, especially from the U.S.
Really?
Yeah.
So tell us about the U.S., so the ones you have seen, are they students who are studying abroad here only for a semester or two, or are they actually getting a degree here?
Both, actually.
Both, really? Yeah.
Most of the people that I've met in my master's program were actually on exchange during their bachelor's in France, and then kind of realized how easy it is and how there's this opportunity as well to study abroad. And who then decided afterwards to come back to France, but to study full-time. Yeah.
Okay, I understand. So how much do you pay for your apartment in Paris? Do you have an apartment in Paris right now?
Right now, no. I moved out a year ago.
Okay.
But I am moving into the Cité Internationale, the Cité Universitaire, which is kind of the Cité Internationale. They have kind of a house for every country there. I don't know if the U.S. has their own house.
They're housing for students?
Yeah, it's housing for students, but it's like it's supported by the government and by the CRUS. So I kind of have a spot there now for a university residence.
In Paris?
In Paris, yeah.
So how much are you going to pay? Do you know?
So it's roughly 500 euros per month.
Oh, that's prepared then. Really good.
Month. Yeah.
How much did you pay previously?
I was in a house, and it was kind of a social housing project.
Okay.
I'm from the arrondissement where I lived.
Yeah.
So I was only paying 450 euros for 50 square meters.
How much?
50, 50.
That's apartment.
Yeah. But that was a social housing project from a university and the neighborhood I lived in.
By yourself?
By myself.
You just went by yourself, 450?
Yeah.
In Paris?
Yeah, in Paris.
How did you find it?
So there's social housing projects organized by like volunteering organizations. So they kind of pay a part of your rent, and in exchange you engage within the neighborhood. So I was like giving classes, like I was helping high school kids with their homework, approximately like 3 to 4 hours per week, and in exchange they pay a part of your rent. So it's kind of a program to integrate students.
Wow. Well, that's super cool. How did you find a program? Did you hear, like, where did you hear about it?
From a university, actually. Most universities most of the time have a website where they can help you or, like, give you recommendations on housing. And since there is kind of sometimes it's a bit more difficult to find housing, there are a lot of these organizations that offer these kind of programs. And it was amazing. And also most people that I know, they're either in a shared flat and pay around, I'd say, 700, 800 euros a month, or they have their own apartment, which are a bit smaller in Paris, but most of the time they can find something as well between 600 and 800 euros a month.
Really?
Which is, I
think, in Paris?
In Paris, yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it's definitely possible to find something.
And how's the living? How's food? I mean, food is great, but
Is
it expensive?
No, groceries. It depends on where you do your groceries. But I mean, as in the US and France, they have Lidl. And I mean,
it's very cheap with the
German supermarkets. They're amazing.
The Germans, yeah.
So if you stick to your groceries from Lidl or Aldi, they're quite cheap. And I also, it really depends on what you buy, but I'd say it's quite affordable. And I think the bigger risk in Paris is that most of the time you want to eat outside because there's so many options and the food is just amazing. And the thing with Paris as well, it can be quite pricey, but if you're there as a student, you can easily find cheap and good food
as well.
And what we have as well are university restaurants. They're offered by the CRUS.
And they're cheaper?
They are very cheap. They are, a meal is around 3.30 euros.
Oh.
With a starter, a main, and a dessert. And if you are a scholarship student, you only pay a euro. And that's for all the students, even if you are only there on exchange or studying full-time in France. And in Paris, one fun fact, they have a little boat university restaurant. So it's on the Seine.
No way.
A university restaurant.
Oh, I have a boat there.
Yeah.
Will you take a tour for me?
Yeah.
Do a tour for me if I go there. If I text you. I was like,
yeah. That's really nice. I think it's one of my favorite places.
I'm going to hit you up if I go to Paris.
Sure.
What's that? Now it comes to actually my biggest question.
Yeah.
Since you're from Germany and I study in Germany too. If people ask you, how would you say the differences or similarities between German universities and French university or just the higher education system? What would you say? Would you say they're kind of similar, or do you see, okay, there is actually a difference between both systems?
So I think it depends on if you go to a normal university or to a specialized school. And since I've only been to a specialized school, I can't really talk for the universities. But from what I've heard, or the feeling in general, is that university in France feels a bit more like school. So the system is more attendance, and you go more regularly to university. But also there's kind of more you're not really on your own. And in Germany, studying in Germany is kind of really like you're independent.
Yes.
You can move your exams. You can extend your semesters and however you want to. Like it's, you're really free on finishing your degree whenever you want, which is not the case in France. So for the specialized schools and for the public university, it's you kind of have to finish your studies within the given time.
Okay.
And you can really take, for example, in Germany, you can take an exam 3 times, which is not the case in France. So I say that is the biggest difference is flexibility, which can, I'm sure it depends on what type of person you are.
Yeah.
Some people might prefer that, but some people might say, hey, I actually need them for me to follow up and kind of like support
them
more. So
would you say there's more hands-on experience in France where your professors are more reachable, more approachable, or there's maybe an advisor in a university who reach out to you from time to time? Would you say that's the case? Or is it more like in Germany, no one's really care? You have to do everything on your own from that perspective?
I'd say that as well. Definitely depends on the university. But from what I've heard, I feel like it should be easier to be in contact. Since you are more forced to go to university, since there's a higher attendance, I think automatically you're more in contact with academic staff and also the university by itself. So I feel like it should be a bit easier to reach out or for them to reach out to you.
Okay.
Than in Germany.
How's
it's more a school?
Yeah. I think I need to see this in person kind of, you know. What do you think about this question though? What do you think about the campuses? Are they similar to German universities where just all spread out in the city? Or is it more like American style? Is it centralized? All the buildings are in one area and then all students go there. Like which scenario is it in France?
It's the same as in Germany. It kind of depends. So there's definitely universities that kind of have a like on-campus experience. So like most of the buildings are kind of close by. But then there's also other universities, especially in Paris, where there's not as much space as in other cities, where the campuses are more spread out and that they have different buildings from within, like across the city. But for example, the engineering school, which is called Polytechnique, or also the business schools such as HEC, they're in the outskirts of Paris and they have their own campus and where you study and live. And there, for example, it's kind of like an American university campus. But I'd say most of the universities are more integrated into the urban ecosystem and kind of not really in this,
I see.
This campus.
Stuff. Okay. I got a feeling that you really like Paris. You like to study in Paris, right?
I do. It's a great place. It's a bit dangerous because there's a lot of distraction.
Dangerous
cities?
Such as,
I mean, the entire city. Our city is a distraction. You step foot out of your campus and you're within the bustling.
Isn't that amazing, though?
City. Yeah. Or yeah, all the boulangeries next to you. Just great for a coffee break or to get a croissant or a baguette. I mean, there's so many.
Hanging out with your friends, reaching out to others. Yeah.
So,
do you want to stay there? Where do you see in a couple of years? Like, do you want to work in France, work in Paris? Or would you want to come back?
I don't know if I want to stay in Paris right after my studies because it is kind of exhausting.
Yeah.
And it is nice as a student because you're quite flexible. And I mean, you're not working a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
I feel like it could be a bit more exhausting and draining if you're living and working in a big city. As a student, it's perfect. The balance between student life and studies is, I'd say, perfect. But I don't think that I'd want to stay there after I graduate. Maybe come back later on. But I think it might be a bit exhausting.
Okay, so let me ask you something. Your master's degree is in European
Affairs.
I assume you want to get into politics? Or what's your career aspiration, if I could ask?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm probably going to stick with it, like with something related to European affairs or within the European Union, such as the European Commission. Or even I might try to become a diplomat for Germany. But that's fairly competitive.
So I know.
We'll see.
Okay. What if you want to work in the private sector? Have you thought about that?
Not really.
So my question really, what I want to get into is when you have a degree from France and then in your case, you're studying in France, so you speak perfect French and then German and then maybe you speak, I don't know which is right, I'm not getting into it. But what are the career chances? For example,
if you're from country like the United States or Canada or some Asian countries, whatever, or like from Turkey, and then you go to Paris, you learn French, you didn't know French maybe before, but you learn French during your study, you put in a lot of effort into it, get a degree in French, and then after that, you're looking at the job market. Do you think it's more advantageous in a way because you speak so many different languages and then you have so many different experiences? Or is it more like a disadvantage for you because you kind of, for example, you want to go back to the US, but you have a French degree? What do you think about that? You don't like just your feeling or like from your friends who are currently looking for jobs in their home countries, maybe. What do you think? Yeah.
So what I get the most is that it's definitely an advantage to study in France, and especially if you speak several languages.
Yeah.
I'm coming from the US, I feel like France is getting more and more international, even though, I mean, French is prevalent.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of businesses are looking for for Anglophone students that are just finished with their studies.
Mm.
So I'd say it's definitely an advantage. It might be maybe a bit more difficult depending on your level of French, because
yeah,
they still might want you to speak French on at least a B2 or C1 level.
If you want to stay in France.
If you want to stay in France, yeah. But the good thing is that there's a lot of ways to getting your visa extended and having
that is
a work permit to stay in France. So the government definitely wants for the people that finish their degree in France to stay there.
Yeah.
So there are definitely opportunities, but it definitely depends on if you want to stay in the country, if you liked your experience.
Yeah.
I mean France is a great place, so definitely.
Yeah.
And also on how the job market is at the moment, and especially as well what you study.
It's true, yeah.
It's definitely depends on your field of studies,
yeah,
and how that is being needed right now in the labor market.
Could you picture yourself working in France full time?
I could, definitely, yeah. Depends on the job as well.
Yes.
And on where in France?
Okay, where do you want to live?
So France is basically... In the south is beautiful. I don't know, yeah, if you've ever been. And like Marseille, I mean, you're by the Mediterranean, you have the Alps. It's just beautiful. And I feel like if
it
you
is.
Could find a job somewhere, somewhere by the coast in France, I mean, that would kind of be ideal.
That's your vibe.
Yeah. Or also places like Strasbourg. I mean, since I'm from Germany, it would be super close to be back home and to see friends and family.
Yeah, that's the border, true. Yeah.
And it's kind of like the best of both worlds. So
yeah,
living in France, but then being only a tram ride away from Germany,
yeah,
which might also be ideal.
Yeah. So last question. If someone seeks for advice from you, a prospective student, and then they ask you, okay, could you give me one advice? If I want to study in France. I'm considering it. I'm not 100% sure. What would you say to them?
Well, definitely take the risk and go abroad.
Take
the risk. Well, I wouldn't even say it's a risk, but definitely step out of your comfort zone. And if you have the chance.
So it was worth it for you.
It's definitely worth it. I have zero regrets on all the people I've met.
Yeah.
I have loved their stay in France and loved being abroad. And it's kind of, if not now, then when? It's like you're young now. You now have the opportunity to leave and study abroad and make new connections, learn a new language, immerse yourself in a foreign culture. And even if at the end you decide to go back to the US or to your home country, you're going back home with so many new memories, new competences, and a lot of new friends, and having discovered a new part of the world, and having probably just learned things and going back home without regrets.
So. Perfectly said. I 100% agree with you. Thank you so much, Gukum. That was it.
That's been a pleasure.
That's it for the podcast. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions about applying for European universities, please shoot me an email. My advice is free of charge. Thank you so much. This is Jacob Tong. Thank you for listening.